The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max's 205 live review for April 11th, 2017. And this edition is brought to you by W2Mnet.com. Make sure you go check out all our other great review shows that we have. All those shows are available for you right there, plus all the great written content when it comes to the world of wrestling. Also, don't forget to go subscribe, if you haven't already, to the Wrestling to the Max subscription, well, you know, wherever you find a podcast, on iTunes, maybe you listen on Podcast Addict or even Stitcher, man, just go subscribe to Wrestling to the Max and you will get everything that we have to offer you. It's great, great content. So I'm Gary Vaughn, and of course with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And tonight, Paul, we are going to go down the journey of the, you know, 205 Live post WrestleMania. I'm getting excited about seeing this direction we're going. Some things are changing in 205 Live. Some guys are deciding to go different ways. It's going to be kind of cool to see the direction of these guys. So let's go ahead and do it. Let's talk about this episode.
Yeah, we'll talk about maybe the biggest change, of course, in the main event. But the show opens. Let's say this. If you were looking for some great wrestling tonight, 205 Live had you covered. Maybe I like this a lot more than some other people, but Mustafa Ali taking on Brian Kendrick in the opener. They get about 10 minutes. Kendrick works the great veteran role that he's been in since he's been here. Mustafa Ali, of course, wanting to do all the flippies and be aerial and look awesome, and he continues to do so. And we finally get down to the stretch. Kendrick tries a burning hammer, which would have been awesome, but I don't think they're going to let anybody ever hit a burning hammer in WWE. And Ali flips out of it. Does a whole bunch of other stuff and looks about to go for the imploding 450, but Kendrick catches him, gets him in the captain's hook, and then the bell suddenly rings, but it's not because Mustafa Ali tapped, it's because Tozawa is at ringside ringing it like a crazy person. Kendrick gets all pissed off, Ali fights back, hits the imploding 450 for the win. Even though you have the screwy finish, I really enjoyed this, and Tozawa seemingly learning the lessons Kendrick is trying to teach him in all the underhanded, dastardly ways of Kendrick's teachings and whatnot.
Yeah. Isn't it funny that, you know, Brian Kendrick, you know, wants to be the go-to guy for, you know, Tozawa, but Tozawa doesn't want anything to have to do with it, but yet he's now following him in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of funny and kind of comical to add to the storyline, but I kind of like it. We're still continuing down this path, and, you know, honestly, I think Kendrick and Tozawa have shown that they have something interesting to offer. Those mm-hmm. two guys seem to work pretty well together in the ring, so overall, I mean, I'm still happy with it. I'm not tired of it. You know, usually when these feuds go this long, I get kind of weary, especially if the payoff is not sooner than, you know, maybe 2 months. You know, sometimes you're going, oh my God, how long can they drag this out? Unless it's let's be honest, a long time feud that they purposely space out. So without saying all that, I was completely okay with this. I think that the match itself, I mean, that's awesome. Anytime you have, you know, a guy like Kendrick, and especially a young guy like Mustafa Ali, who can, man, every time I see him in the ring, he impresses me.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, just putting that on the card, Paul, without even seeing it, just makes you happy from my point of view. So I'm really completely cool with everything that happened here, and they continue to showcase Mustafa Ali. I mean, I'm waiting for it. I'm just waiting for him to hit that next level on 205 in the cruiserweight division. And Kendrick's great too. He's despite the fact that what people say about him, you know, he's older, and really, what's his role now that Austin Aries is there and Neville's kind of taking that top spot? His role is just making these guys better, and this is a perfect opportunity and a perfect, you know, showing of that.
Yeah, Kendrick has turned into the gatekeeper of 205 Live. If you beat him, you're on your way to the upper echelons of the card, and that's really perfect for him, because he has some, like, there's a lot of talent to work with here, and the feud they have him in with Tozawa right now is so interesting, because Kendrick is essentially just acting as catalyst for us to learn about Tozawa. has been, you know, his usual self in the ring if you've watched Dragon Gate. But outside the ring, we get to learn so much more about him in these segments. With Kendrick, you get to see every once in a while where Kendrick's trying to teach him lessons. And seemingly, he's had the upper hand at this point. But now Tozawa is finally turning all those back now and getting to be the glorious person that he is. And I mean, Ali eclipsed, he's clicked with everybody that he's been in the ring with so far. So that guy is going to be a top star for this division for a while, or however much longer it stays around, or whatever 205 Live plans are.
Yeah.
He's definitely a part of those long-term ones.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that wholeheartedly, and I'm excited to see where he does go. And the one thing, the last thing I'll bring up about this is, you know, it may already be out. You'll have to tell me, Paul, if you already know about this, but WWE is supposed to be revealing, or actually coming out with the WWE rule book, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd be interested to see, because the finish of this is Tozawa just ringing the bell, but I thought that would possibly be a DQ in some circumstances because of the fact that they have a distraction. But I guess it works in the same way as entrance music, right?
Right.
Where it has nothing to do with physicality. And if it doesn't have anything to do with physicality, well, then guess what? It's illegal. So it was just interesting. I was kind of thinking about that. I said, okay, I wonder really what does count, you know, as a DQ. So I kind of wish I had the rule book in front of me. So when these situations come up, I'm like, okay, I get it now.
So long as you don't touch a person, that's usually what causes the DQ, at least in WWE land. Maybe some other places get a little bit more outlandish with a disqualification call, but usually if you have an outside person touch, that's when you have problems.
Fair enough.
We then get an interview with Perkins talking about what he did on Raw, and says that he might be Neville's advocate here, but he was the star of the Cruiserweight Classic. Perkins came in and took an opportunity that belonged to him and says that everybody else has sort of been following on his coattails almost. Gallagher shows up and says, you know, we can have, I really hope we have a gentleman's battle tonight. I don't want to see any of this new TJP that you have. And Perkins is like, whatever. And then Rich Swann squashes Johnny Ocean. That's pretty much all that happens there before we get into the post-match.
Yeah, I mean, hey, this is good for Rich Swann. I'm happy that, you know, that they are kind of keeping him relevant, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it is a squash, at least he's there and doing something. Because right now, he's not going to fit in that main event picture at this moment. So that's good that they're getting him along and he's at least in front of people, positive. All about that. Jack Gallagher, it's just so funny. He can do these little vignettes, these little video packages, whatever you want to call them, and it's hilarious. And it just showcases that he's all-around good guy. He's a perfect baby face. But at the same time, it's just got that comedy factor that it's almost like it's not intended, but it is. And so that's what I love about him. And so, you know, I'm glad at least they allow him to do these type of things because he's great in the ring. Don't get me wrong. He is an excellent wrestler. He has his own crazy style, which is just wonderful. But I'm just so happy that they're giving this guy an opportunity to showcase what he can do, you know, in these vignettes and, of course, on the mic and things like that. To me, they're giving him opportunities that are really necessary for these guys to grow in the audience. And I think it's, you know, showing why he's growing leaps and bounds in the eyes of the fans.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think it might be worth having a conversation right here about Jack Gallagher, because with the upcoming WWE UK show and all these other things you have going on in that scene, Gallagher was really making a name for himself in the UK indies, and then he got the CWC opportunity and he came running to the WWE, and he's this complete character inside the ring. You know who he is. Everybody loves the guy. He's a terrific wrestler too. Like, if they do decide to move him from 205 Live to the UK series to at least give fans a familiar face, I think that would be a really smart move. I don't know how much people would be for or against that as far as moving him off of 205 Live. But, I mean, moving him to UK makes sense if they do decide to do that, or if that thought's out there. I don't know. I'm just sort of spitballing here. But what do you think?
You know, it's a catch-22. Mm-hmm. It really is, because, like I said before, I think a lot of fans are gravitating towards him. I think he's really got a spot here in WWE in this, you know, even if it is just 205 Live or whatever. I think it even kind of honestly goes over to Raw as well. I think fans that watch Raw and see Jack Gallagher, for what it's worth, the cruiserweight division may not be the most important thing on Raw, but I think people gravitate towards him even on that show as well. So taking him away from that and throwing him on the UK show, it's kind of a bad thing for, you know, regular casual fans of WWE, but it's a wonderful thing for the UK show. And it's something that they're going to need over there. They're going to need to bring eyes to the UK show for it to matter. They're going to want people on the network to watch it. No one's going to watch the network version, you know, no one's going to get on there and care about the UK show unless they have people that they are known as established, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to watch a bunch of indie stars from the UK just to watch them unless you're us, right? That's our audience, but that's not the audience that WWE is technically catering to. So I think Jack Gallagher would almost have to be a must for the UK show. You know, I would even – I don't want it to happen, but – even if you wanted to bring over a guy to do it again, like, you know, Aleister Black, who's been proven, just to make sure that that show is established and then move him away once that show establishes itself a good year or two, I would be okay with it. But I almost feel like Jack Gallagher has to do it in a way.
I think they should, just because having another familiar face out there, and I love, like, the top four guys they've established, right, with Tyler Bate as the champion, Trent Seven, obviously, it looks like they have big plans for. Pete Dunne, obviously, looks slated to be one of their top guys. And now Mark Andrews. You know, you have four guys there who you could build a show around. And those UK audiences, obviously, they're doing the show in the UK. It's not really going to matter who you put over there, because they're going to at least have a passing familiarity with these people. And you'll have good crowd reactions to that extension. I just, you know, worrying about people trying to find their way over there on the network. Maybe if you have, like, a Jack Gallagher. Maybe if you have Neville do a guest spot. Or, you know, people who you could fit into those roles over there very well. Like an Aleister Black, like you mentioned. I think might be worth at least talking about for WWE if they don't do it, you know, or already have plans for it.
You know what? And you bring up a good point. And you know, I think sometimes I kind of put myself in a box of, oh, I've got to establish this roster. I have to make sure that they have the same guys every night. It doesn't have to be like that. You just made a good point. You know, it could be a thing where Jack Gallagher goes over there for two, three shows, mm-hmm. comes back and does his normal thing. And at least people are watching the UK show because they want to see Jack Gallagher compete against these other guys. And, you know, kind of get that presence going. And heck, I mean, it could even work with you having a guy like Gallagher or any of these other, you know, Pete Dunne. Let's say Pete Dunne wins, you know, Tyler Bate loses the championship to Dunne. Mm-hmm. Well, Dunne's got a big name in the UK, but Dunne could come over and work NXT, could come over 205 Live if he wanted to. And I think it would make sense. And not only are you having the UK title represented on American TV, mm-hmm. but now you're making people care because now they got to watch the UK show if they want to see Pete Dunne. So
I think what we're sort of hinting at here is the very interesting idea that all of the wrestling shows and divisions or whatever you want to say that are on the WWE network, you could have a circulating roster of the cruiserweights and the UK talent and maybe, you know, the Asian tournament that they're talking about and NXT. And you can almost have your own independent circuit within WWE contracted people to go around and work all these shows before they come up on the main roster, if they ever do. Obviously, I mean, we're getting to the point now where maybe you have guys who make their name on these circuits that WWE is building and never makes it to TV. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's very possible.
No, I totally right there with you. And, you know, I think that would almost be a better situation than doing, you know, my original thought of, well, no, you got to have, you know, just this roster, nothing else, not a lot of movement. No, I think you're right. You know, it helps everybody with a rotating roster. And I think it keeps everything compelling compared to just, you know, same old same.
Yeah, and I think it does an excellent – say you have people who are, well, you know, I only want to watch the UK show, or I only want to watch 205, or I only watch NXT, or whatever else happens to crop up. Having these guys show up on all those would at least give every single type of fan who has the network and watching these shows a passing familiarity with all these people who you have aspirations to put on your main show someday.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I agree. You know, and not only that, I mean, you can, you know, really showcase, you know, the shows themselves to everybody who may not want to see those shows just because they're kind of stubborn, no, I'm not going to watch it. And then you kind of force their hand a little bit to do that. So I think, you know, it's just the right decision if they want to go with that. And I hope they do. I really do.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I guess to sort of put a stop to this tangent before we keep on circulating off topic here, after Rich Swann beats Johnny Ocean, which I should mention, he busted out an absolutely gorgeous Phoenix Splash to win that match. He gets the microphone and talks about how it's shocker, he's the one that's been giving the gifts to Alicia Fox, and Noam Dar comes out and says, no, man, you know, the gifts, they were all for me. And they have some arguing, and Alicia Fox comes out and says that, you know, she believes Dar. She thinks he's the one who's been giving her the gifts. Their love is special, and knows that Swann has just been sort of looking at her and all these other things, and not really having the same intentions almost as what she's trying to insinuate. A delivery guy shows up. Dar says, hey, this is for me. And then Dar sort of goes to leave, asks the delivery guy to leave, gives the gifts to Alicia, and it's a box of exploding power that erupts right in her face, and she looks like she's about to murder him. it's very, very outlandishly funny.
That's great. I love it. You know, it's something that, you know, we just enjoy Alicia Fox. Just that whole shock moment with her. It's hilarious every time. It always gets you.
Yeah. I mean, she's great in this role. I know a lot of people haven't been big on this, but at least they're entertaining. Like, I'm not bored with this, you know. There are times where it's a little ho-hum, but there are segments like this where you can't help but laugh. And maybe we should every once in a while.
Yeah.
Austin Aries gets a promo backstage. He says that Perkins is sort of blaming him for all his failures. And Aries, however, knows what's up. Neville needs a puppet. He's trying to keep Aries busy. And pretty much in 3 weeks, he's going to beat Neville for the championship, and TJP will be a non-issue in all of this. And then TJP and Jack Gallagher go one-on-one in your main event. They get 15, almost 16 minutes, and they put on one heck of a doozy of a match, if I do say so myself. They battle back and forth. You get all the great Gallagher spots. Really doing a great job of going hold for hold. And of course, if you've watched TJP on the Indies or TNA or wherever you happen to have seen him before, you know he can do that just as well as flippies and striking and everything else. And they go back and forth the whole time. Perkins starts going on a roll. Gallagher comes out of nowhere with a big headbutt and then goes for the dropkick in the corner but misses. Perkins comes up and hits the detonation kick to get the victory. And TJP even gets a solid win here. Looks really strong. And I tell you what, man, this works for me. TJP seems much more interesting now as a heel. He looks much more motivated. And maybe it's just because he's being paired up with Neville, who's a super hot act right now. But I'm very much interested to see what they do with him.
I am too, and you know, when we kind of talked about, you know, TJ Perkins when we did our Monday Night Raw review, I kind of alluded to he's got to make his mark as a heel. He's really got to showcase that he's not the same old guy. He's not just the vanilla TJP we've seen in the past, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a great direction for him. It's a new opportunity, and you know, I think he can succeed. You know, you know, people like you, you know, you said right now, you know, you're happy with the direction, you feel good about it. And I think I do too. I think I'll be happy. I think he's going to do even more. And this style of wrestling also kind of adds to him as well, right? The heel style sometimes can give guys an extra boost because they can be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. They can showcase that they're not just this, you know, I do a few flashy things and that's about it. No, it's showcasing that he's more well-rounded than maybe a lot of us expected. So I'm hoping it really does get, you know, even stronger for him on the mic. Even, you know, he's he's excellent in the ring. You can't take that away from the guy, right? He's great. If he can just hit the mic part, you know, really get things down, and I think he will. I kind of like the little vignette he cut on SmackDown, you know, kind of getting people pumped up for 205 Live. I thought he did fine with that. So I think we got some cool things in store for us with TJP. I really do. I hope he keeps building on this. If he does, I think we're going to be happy with him, and I think everybody else will be too.
It's going to be real interesting to keep an eye on this too, especially like what if they go full blown stable here, and like we've seen Drew Gulak petitioning people that the fans are the problem with 205 Live. What if he jumps on board with this too? Like we could be looking at a stable and Aries having to take down the group with maybe some other faces like Rich Swann and Jack Gallagher and Mustafa Ali, whoever else they decide to throw up against this, like. You could have a pretty entertaining act on your hands, so let's hope this goes well for 205 Live and everybody else in that division, because all these guys deserve all the success in the world.
Yeah, definitely. I'm right there with you.
Well, that's our 205 Live for the week, Gary.
All right, so that means that we will be leaving you guys with this. Don't forget next week to come back and listen to our next 205 Live review, always available for you on W2Mnet.com. And also, if you subscribe to the Wrestling to the Max group, of course, on Facebook, and of course, hey, do it wherever you get your podcast. You can find out when we have our shows and, of course, get them all right there in your dock, available. And, you know, and trust me, it's just so much easier for you. I know it's easier for me when I go and do it myself. So go check out those things. Also, don't forget, we have a Wrestling to the Max episode 1 and 2 this week. We'll be doing part 1 right after this pretty soon. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be talking about that big switch up with the rosters. You know, Raw and SmackDown have, you know, traded some superstars, and now we get a chance to see the direction of both those shows from here. So it's going to be a great episode. Plus, don't forget, we're going to have another one this next, you know, Thursday. So lots of great stuff coming your way. Once again, we will see you guys down the road. Until then, peace.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.